Thank you. Thank you, Ben. I think I always love listening to Ben because he puts everything so clear. And I really want you to realize the historical point in time in which we are all in. And if you remember that chart that he showed where the sustainable goals are and human rights in the middle, the word health is not there. We're part of that social something. So again, health, even health, is at risk of being dropped. We really need to advocate to put not only human rights, but the right to health specifically in that sustainable development goal framework. It's really a crucial time, especially if you are a female in this room. Maternal health needs to become women's health, and we're not just a womb to reproduce more people that can join the economic development. And because of the financial crisis, people are so focused on environmental and economic development that they are at risk of really dropping health. And all the things that we have achieved with the MDGs, which is not enough, but all the things are at risk of being lost. So now I have the honor of presenting what Audrey put together, and unfortunately she couldn't come because of Sandy. And so I'll try to do my best to share her points, and which I really do share from at my heart. So there are missed opportunities in the human rights gaps in the CSDH report. This is Audrey, and she doesn't have any commercial relationships to disclose. I am a member of the International Human Rights Committee. Yay! So I suggest you also join. Going back to the two ships passing in the night, let's not miss the ship this time. In 2005, the article with Philip Alston that Ben mentioned used analogy to characterize relationship between human rights and the development communities and how we're not there yet. So make friends with the Global Health and Human Rights Committee community. Also, there's a good fit with exceptions for health and human rights and social medicine, epidemiology, and communities to work together. We need to speak the same language. That's why, as of today, you're able to speak the human rights language. So you can go and grab a global health person and talk the same language. In 2008, the report of the WHO Commission on Social Determinants of Health, Closing the Gap in a Generation, Health Equity Through Action on the Social Determinants of Health, is an example of that. The right to health and social determinants. Right to health always is more than just the right to health care. So let's remember that. The health is not a benefit that insurance companies decide you may be eligible for, but it's a right that you should claim. It's a right of everyone to the enjoyment of the highest attainable standard of physical and mental health that includes the steps that needs to be taken. Provision for healthy development of a child, improvement of all aspects of environmental industrial hygiene, prevention, treatment, control of epidemics, all the public health and individual care that we know very well. More recently drafted, the human rights instruments like the Convention on the Rights of the Child list adequate nutritious food, clean water as components of that approach. General Comment 14 was adopted by the UN Committee on Economic and Social and Cultural Rights in the year 2000, so it's not too far. We're all grown-ups already. This is the most authoritative interpretation of the right to health. So it's just three pages. You should read it and make copies for everybody. Put it in your email signature, the link to the website. The most authoritative interpretation of the right to health. So please spread the buzzword. And because it really interprets how the right to health as inclusive right extended not only to timely and appropriate health care, but also to the underlying determinants of health. Underlying determinants of health include, as you know, access to safe water, potable drinking, adequate sanitation, adequate supply of safe food, water, housing, healthy occupational environmental conditions, access to health care, education, information. Basically, everything that you can have in your iPhone now and more. Now, thanks to Paul Hunt, who was the Special Rapporteur on Human Rights, he consistently portrayed the right to health as necessarily incorporating underlying determinants. This is a big step. This was not common sense, everybody, yet. Then in his 2007 report to the General Assembly of the UN, he focuses on two key underlying determinants, safe water and adequate sanitation. You know that there's millions and millions that still don't have that, right? Commission on Social Determinants of Health that was established by WHO in the year 2005, just 7 years ago, mandates to marshal evidence on what be done to promote health equity and foster global movement to achieve it. Multinational panel chaired by Sir Michael Marmot, and everybody worked through 9 subject matter working groups termed knowledge networks. Closing the Gap in a Generation that emerged in 2008 builds upon all this and gives greater visibility to prior work in the field of social medicine. Its major contributions include visibility that it gave to the social determinants of health. Finally, the word social determinants became known. Conditions in which people are born, grow, live, work, play, and it's those big posters that you see that APHA has now, your zip code determines how long you're going to live. And it's justice orientation, and you can see in those two faces of the two kids, right? Which one are you going to pick who's going to live longer, right? Extensive body research, it marshals conclusions and recommendations. The report is unequivocal in condemning disparities, life opportunities, and health status between the rich and the poor countries, between the rich and the poor within the countries. Basically, health. Human rights are universal. Doesn't matter if you're poor, rich, where you live. Ascribes differentials to a toxic combination of poor social policies and programs and fair economic arrangements and bad politics. 3 overarching recommendations. 1, improve conditions of daily life, circumstances in which people are born, grow, live, work, and age. That's the social determinants of health. 2, tackle inequitable distribution of power, money, and resources that serve as a structural drivers through those conditions of daily life, globally, nationally, locally. So what happens to those that do not have access to money and power? There has to be something in the government that provides for that. Measure the problem, evaluate the actions, expand the knowledge base to understand the problems, assess impact, basically have public health programs that raise the awareness and do something about the problem. So that's the challenge, and that's our challenge as public health professionals. We need to embrace it, because I believe that if you're in this room, because you really believe that human rights is the basic underlying of how we're going to elevate life in this planet. Relationship between the commission and human rights community. Paul Hunt was the former special rapporteur on the right to health. Not a congruity in the commission's mandate and many dimensions of the right to health in of his 2005 report. And then Hunt proposed collaboration and meeting with the commission secretariat. The commission secretariat recommended that the report on the standard of the social determinants of health adopt a rights-based approach as a proper conceptual framework to advance towards health equity through action on the social determinants of health. And this is what he said. Right concepts and standards provide an instrument for turning diffuse social demand into focused legal political claims, as well as a set of criteria by which to evaluate the performance of political authorities. Are they really fulfilling their duty in promoting people's well-being? So all these are basically tools that you can use to advocate to make sure that these things happen and the programs that we know that we need to implement really become reality. The Secretariat also noted the recognition of the human right to health and detailed provisions in the General Comment 14 that were incorporated as key health determinants. The Secretariat further mentioned the important role of the Special Rapporteur in advancing a political agenda around the right to health. At least one knowledge network, globalization, also strongly recommended a human rights approach as a means to promote global equity. So it doesn't matter if a baby is born here in the United States, here you hold it, your baby is born in Ethiopia, which one is going to survive? Everybody has the same chance. The absence of human rights in the report, however, in the closing the gap, there's a complete absence of the mention of human rights. And even though there is a clear overlap of what when we're talking about specific social, economic, cultural rights in the content of the right to health. There's reluctance to acknowledge common ground. This is Peregrine treatment of human rights. For instance, despite the Commission's commitment to achieving universal health care, the report did not refer to Article 12 until page 158. And then did it very briefly. They also did not acknowledge the role of the Special Rapporteur until page 173. And then the General Comment 14 was only a brief citation buried in the chapter on political empowerment and mentioned in the listing as one of the proponents for Health for All. So we need to build the foundation and be very clear what human rights are. That's the point of departure, and otherwise that doesn't make sense. Keep it simple. Nor did the report explicitly place access to the key social determinants for health and human rights framework, even when there is a correspondent right for right to health. There's a chapter on early childhood development that stresses the importance of governments providing quality compulsory primary and secondary education for all, regardless the ability to pay, but not a framework mandate as a human right, or they didn't even mention the right to education. Much like the human right approach has strong emphasis on gender equity and recommendations parallel to human rights document, but not they do not refer to that. And they also emphasize political empowerment and incorporation of disadvantaged groups. That, again, they don't talk about human rights of those groups that are not being included. Now, they give some possible explanations. Now, imagine erase explanations or write excuses. Sridhar Venkatapuram and Michael Marmot and Ruth Bell in their 2010 article, Health and Human Rights, said, the right to sutures, social epidemiology, human rights, and social justice state. From start, the Commission based its work on an awareness of human rights and relations between health and right, excessively legal understanding of human rights, while it was clear that human rights law would be an important part of implementing the Commission's recommendation, members of the Commission were not convinced that explicit consideration of the legal human right to health changed their final causal analysis. The article also states the Commission had the desire, something happened, to focus on equity and social justice and emphasize them throughout because different than dominant approaches within WHO, medical interventions, health systems, and economics, everybody's looking after their program, human rights, it's either a distraction or competition. Can you see the incongruence there? It's the basis, and then from there is where you build all the other aspects. They are not able to see. We don't seem to have the same language to. They're looking at the issue through there. Yeah, I'm a doctor. I understand that. But we need to move forward. Now, the excuses continue. They acknowledge that approaches as convergent in that they have common concern and push to the same goal of greater health equity, but stress the need to pursue separate paths. Okay, so let's coexist parallelly. Disparage human rights approach because it lacks a model of causation or distribution of health. They claim that human rights provide insufficient motivating capacity, and there's obviously a misunderstanding of the role of human rights. So I think that's our fault. We need to really explain human rights better in a way that the health community can understand. And they don't understand the human rights approach. They assume that human rights not try to hold governments accountable. Venkatapuram, in his book Health Justice, disparages human rights because it's not derived from theories of justice and moral reasoning rather than starting from legal documents. You're not supposed to worry about legal documents? So with that, I think I've given you enough food for thought, and I look forward to the discussion. Thank you.